I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. We are not a talk show. We are a teach show. You know it's not my job to run around and regurgitate the news for you. Point fingers, lay blame. You can find that on the regular major talk shows all ad nauseum. Probably beyond your capacity these days. So my effort here is to bring to you the current events as a teaching tool. And today, let me stick this in here too. Remind you, go to my website, chrisannhall.com. You know, I got to do this, the whole plug thing. chrisannhall.com. Now I just made my husband happy and I can get on with the rest of this stuff. So today, we have a really special guest today, somebody I have just met, and a true patriot in the efforts of moving the states away from federal supremacy, getting our land back in the West. Don't you want to clap your hands there? And I'm very proud to have him on the show. His name is Doyle Shamley. Welcome to the show, Doyle.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I was very surprised. I had spelled your name wrong, your first name wrong, Doyle, D-O-Y-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
I had it D-O-Y-L-E. Is that... different? I'm not a good speller anyway. So
no, I spell it right.
You do?
Right,
okay. Doyle, D-O-Y-E-L, Shamley, S-H-M-L-E-Y. And I am so pleased to have Doyle on the show. And I want you to just take a minute to introduce yourself, Doyle. Tell us who you are.
Well, again, you got my name. So I run a firm, a research firm, that specializes in multi-agency jurisdiction and delegation of authority, because that is...
Turn that into English for me, Doyle.
What levels of government belong where?
Yeah, all right. The proper role of government.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Awesome.
And what cage they're to be locked in at what level, and who has the real authority under our constitutional republic, as it's supposed to be ran, not as we are in now. So we've been doing that for many years. There's a whole flock of us that have different specialties, whether we have sometimes in literature or hearings, it is deemed necessary to bring forth different factoids that impart the message in its way that somebody will understand. So we have economists and all varieties, actually.
What's the name of your firm?
Veritas Research.
All right,
and,
awesome.
Veritas and Veritas Research Service has been around since 1993. So it's a very intriguing line of work, although, as you know better than anybody, there's hardly anybody that understands it.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's why what we do is important, because education is the key to maintaining our sovereignty, maintaining the Constitution and the government in its mm-hmm. proper role and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're in the situation that we're in is because as a whole, the people of America have become woefully ignorant on mm-hmm. these things. And so that's important. What did you do before you did this?
I was in the military for years, the U.S. Army. I'm a veteran. I had actually got started in this line because of my service.
Oh, really?
Items I saw in the Middle East that had played out perfectly to research I had already been doing starting years ago. I had good parents that raised me. To always be inquisitive mm-hmm. and to thoroughly check things out and cross-reference. And I kept stumbling upon all of the subversive activities our State Department has been doing against our country with foreign powers,
mm-hmm.
continually with our dollars to build up false boogeymen.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in the Middle East, the bulk of the equipment panned out to have some very stunning findings. For instance, the famous tractor plants that, it's a fact, were funded through mostly Rockefeller and Carnegie Gold, as was the Bolshevik Revolution, transferred by the State Department. The tractor plants in Russia, just to help them in lend-lease programs, were always known to the intelligence community as armored plants.
Well, that's very interesting, because I did some research on the Marxist takeover of our education system here in the country, mm-hmm. and those two names that were trying to bring the Soviet Union's mechanism of teaching into our country were the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. So.
Yes, exactly.
Back in 1903.
They wanted that harmonization of America with the Soviet-style system. And
that's right.
Our State Department has always accommodated treasonous giveaway of any thing that was technologically or strategically oriented that should stay here. They freely gave it away, and they freely,
or we can accidentally lose
a drone.
Yeah.
and we've historically bolstered up the enemy, because there, if we can keep America at least the attention of the sheeple on a perpetual state of war, it's easier to take them over.
Right. So how does that relate to what you do now?
Well, after seeing many of these items firsthand, Russian equipment but with English data plates, mm-hmm. even though they're T-72 main battle tanks, supposedly only made for Russians. Then the evidence came forth even more so when we got to hear the wonderful speeches of Bush Sr. about his 1,000 points of light and bringing about a new world order that were well advertised, because he didn't hide anything. It became evidently clear that much of what I had read over the years from William Jasper or Gary Allen, you could go back way far to go how it ties into Robinson and Proofs of a Conspiracy from the 1780s. It became evident that something needed to be done more proactively,
mm-hmm.
because I looked around and those research I kept running into, I saw that already, and I still feel we face this somewhat as a problem. But we're being destroyed through attrition, because everybody mm-hmm. I looked to find and learn who had been researching for years were all double and triple my age, double minimum.
Right.
And it was not right. We were going to one day inherit what they left, and those handful of people didn't have anybody to impart their research and knowledge mm-hmm. to. So I wanted to try to help rectify that. And I don't like the fact that I took an oath, you know, Eagle Scout. I won the national constitutional debates for the bicentennial of the Constitution in D.C. So it's always been in me.
And so you had good patriot parents then.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're lucky. I'm a recovering liberal. So that, let me tell, remind all my listeners that I believe wholly that if you want to have patriotic children, it's better to raise them that way mm-hmm. than to let that happen by accident like it did for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. And it helps the learning curve at least.
Yeah, right.
No cramming. But
yeah, but I think sometimes the benefit that I have in the teaching that I do is the fact that I came from that background, so I'm able to relate
uh-huh.
a little bit differently to those things and understand it. Maybe that's where my passion comes
yeah.
from. I'm making up for all the lost time and doing my repentance for all the bad things that I
pittance.
Did. Yeah, all right.
and I know what you're saying. And I had to fulfill my oath that I had taken
mm-hmm.
as you. Had taken to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And any of the writings throughout history, not just our country, but any great patriots of any culture that have existed, clearly showed that throughout history, your greatest enemy is your domestic.
Right.
Subversion of any free societies come from within.
So what is your mission now? And I'm getting the idea that it has a lot to do with property rights and mm-hmm. The proper management of land, that sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, and that because accidentally into that emphasis, jurisdiction still being the fundamental keys, but the thing that we also noticed after years and years is as you kept looking back historically or look at the fundamental attacks done by agencies or subversives within our history, the greatest way to control a people is to control them through resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier. The end run, if you will, is easier to control a society if you can control their ability to have a manufacturing base or not.
You know, it's very interesting. I was a Russian linguist in mm-hmm. the military, and so we not only studied the Russian language, we studied the culture mm-hmm. and the history as well. And a lot of people think that, you know, first off, they think that the communist takeover there in Russia, the revolution over there, happened, you know, in a matter of days. Mm-hmm. But it took decades to happen. Mm-hmm. And another fallacy that we deal with in society is the idea that the ultimate evidence that you're being taken over is they come for your guns. Mm-hmm. Problem is, by that time, you're already taken over. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that Russia did in the revolution, the communist takeover, was they seized up all the agricultural land. Mm-hmm. And they made all the people into indentured mm-hmm. servants, in, you know, sharecroppers, mm-hmm. as you would, and then only allowed them to grow what the government wanted to grow, and oftentimes left their land completely barren, because mm-hmm. the less food the people have, the more you have control over them.
Certainly. And we saw it replay throughout history over and over again. Most people aren't historians like you are. But I think most people can remember, like one of the examples I did in course yesterday or today. So many people remember the Ethiopian, "We got to help the starving baby" commercials in the mm-hmm. 80s. Ethiopia had, throughout its history, been the agricultural breadbasket of Africa until
wow.
the Soviets destroyed their seed stores and all their agriculture.
Wow.
Burned it, wiped out all their strategic seed stores. To them, they weren't strategic. They were heirloom. That's how they looked at them.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was the quickest way to strike to the North African region. Because they wanted to take Africa from one end to the other. Katanga, that was a complete fall and crush of their agriculture and production abilities and water. Because then the people are going to get in line eventually and take what you give them and do what you want just to keep alive. And then that was followed up with the Katanga actions of the UN. The first blatant military action. Although, of course, Korea, et cetera, but outright UN vehicles and units rolling over people. And the idea was to sweep from one end of Africa to the other, and its sole purpose was resources, and Russian doctrine dictated it.
And so their primary perspective was control the food, you control the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to go to a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Doyle about what he's doing here locally. His work with state legislators and the reacquisition of state land.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. I have my special guest, Doyle Shamley. I want to confess something to you, Doyle.
Okay.
I Googled you, man.
Uh-oh.
I did. And you know what I found out?
Huh.
The liberals hate you.
Yes, they do.
They absolutely hate you.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And you know what it is? You're a conservative environmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
You are a real preservationist.
Yeah, conservationist.
Conservationist, mm-hmm. right. You are absolutely a real conservationist, and they can't stand that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to buy into the government agenda. Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, you have to deny the government agenda to actually be a conservationist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we learned that at Bundy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about turtles.
Because
if it wasn't about turtles, they wouldn't have... And animal rights,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have dug mass graves in the middle of the turtle territory
yeah.
and shot cows from the air and dumped them in mass graves. You know what I was wondering? Because, you know, I came from this background, PETA. You
mm-hmm.
know, I was part of PETA and all this stuff. I wondered, where were the animal rights activists outraged over these cows being murdered in
mm-hmm.
cold blood?
Yeah,
why weren't they protesting there?
And why weren't they? Where were they when the agency's Tortoise Recovery and Habitat Center announced a week previous to Bundy that they were euthanized in 1,700 because they had too many?
Right, exactly.
So it's okay to have too many and euthanize them, of course, with more tax dollars, in a center funded by tax dollars to preserve them, But it's
and then try to steal, Bundy's cattle because of the tortoises that they're going to be euthanizing because they have too many.
Too many.
So we go around and destroy that man's personal property.
Yes, and really, it was a beta test of American society to watch the reaction for a future crackdown from a pure strategic outlook. The agencies, many entities were watching it closely, and not just our country, seeing exactly how American society was going to react.
You know, I don't think that's shocking to anybody to think that this was some kind of a litmus to see what was going on, especially how we are constantly being pushed now, and then finding out as well that Bundy was not the first, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think, well, this is the first time. No, Bundy was just the last straw. He said most of the cattle ranchers in that area had already been bought out or pushed out. And Bundy said, no, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm. And one of the famous ones for years out of Nevada, Wayne Hages, famous and an expert on properties. In fact, eventually married to what was nicknamed by the left the militia senator, which was one of our greatest senators we ever had, actually, Senator Helen Chenoweth of Idaho.
Yeah.
And became Helen Chenoweth Hage, mysteriously killed in a highway accident in the middle of nowhere. And then Wayne Hages, of course, succumbed to disease years later. But he had struck out and proven much of the jurisdictional constraints years previous, and he even won. But it's another one of those hollow victories because it's not that he did anything wrong. It's the way the system was structured, as you know better than anybody, to track you in. So he ends up in what? A federal court.
Right,
To dictate.
Challenging federal power.
Yeah. And what's the worst part is he won.
Yeah.
He won.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came down to the civil actions, okay, now what do we owe you for destroying everything for generations has had? And yes, it's going to be in the tens of millions, but now good luck, buddy. Try to collect.
Right, right. You let the IRS go default on your on your IRS debt and see how quickly they come after you. But when they owe you money, it's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. So, what legislatures have you worked with?
Legislative contingents in California, although there's no traction out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people, but they are by far outnumbered. Sheriffs and county legislators and state in Oregon, a little better than California, not much. An increase in Washington, number-wise. Then as you get into that interior West, who has really had to tackle the issue longer than the coastal regions, because the coastal regions can always fall back on other industries.
Right,
So that the hit doesn't seem as bad to them. But when you get to your Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, Montana, then you start seeing where they have suffered the most. They don't have any seaway to help bolster their economy.
All right. Well, hold on to that thought. And I want to get into this because we want to talk solutions here, Doyle. We want to talk about how people can help each other rein in the federal government.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. My special guest, Doyle Shamley. Doyle is the... are you a member, a founder, executive? What is Veritas? What is that to you?
I was co-founder.
Co-founder.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one was murdered by the government.
Oh, no.
So now I'm CEO as well. It is a trust base, though, and it has been for decades, and we have those multiple researchers around the country. We go way back. We proved the government culpability, in fact, And our data was used in the closed door hearings in the Congress for the Oklahoma City bombings.
Really?
Yeah, we go back. And so solution oriented is our mantra.
Right.
It has been forever on our network as well.
The motto for my radio show, Doyle, is losers point fingers, winners find solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have way too much finger-pointing going on, way too much blame being laid without any solutions being provided. And I'm you know what encourages me most about what you do is that you are working on the state and local levels, because I believe that's where the key is to fixing the federal government
mm-hmm.
problem is getting our local and our state governments back in line to understanding the proper perspective, the proper role of government. And so tell us with your work that you're doing, what kind of solutions are you offering? What kind of results are you seeing?
Well, the solutions are offering are the facts that, as you illustrated already and have in the past so often, is the power resides in our constitutional republic with the people in the states. The jurisdiction for all actions in our republic, except for a very minimal amount of enumerated powers in the U.S. Constitution, all the rest resides in the states. And its political subdivisions, the counties. So that is where people can be most effective without having multi-million-dollar lobbying efforts to get one inch of gain out of a yard of expenditure that you do at the federal level for any efforts you do. So one of the biggest things is, since a vibrant economy is one of the keys, really is, to freedom, free enterprise, the ability to produce and easily feed your family and sustain yourself, because you don't make a good slave when you can feed yourself.
Right, exactly.
is the fact of being able to produce off our renewable resources, which are right now curtailed illegally by the vast federal land management agency holdings. In fact, half our country is quite literally supporting the other half of the country through welfare payments called PILT.
You know, our Thomas Jefferson made the comment that he had hope that our republic would endure for quite some time, but only as long as the people remained primarily agrarian.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that when we shifted to the city side
mm-hmm.
and urban centers, mm-hmm. that those are the places where the people become more and more dependent upon government.
Mm-hmm. And as we have these vast resources in the West that can bring us right back on top as the world's leading export nation, which is always better economically than being an importer, besides having
you
the
think?
Besides wow. having the obvious job market.
You are so radical.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that the resources are more than renewable that we're discussing, and actually the evil capitalist rapers and pillagers of the land are actually the best stewards, because the United States Western lands are looked at as a model around the world of
mm-hmm.
preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who did it for years until they were curtailed? Those evil livestock industries and timber industries
mm-hmm.
and mining industries, all the while supplying the urban centers with all the jobs and public transportation and items that they enjoy, and we enjoying the more open space and producing something with the renewable, our own hands.
You know, government really just screws that all up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the capitalistic manufacturers that we see today that are the real problems, like Monsanto and that sort of thing, their problem is not the business they're in. The problem is that they've become so heavily subsidized and influenced by the government that they're no longer concerned with product sustainable,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm driving through Texas. I don't know what you see in Arizona, but I'm driving through Texas, and I'm watching farmers mow down entire fields of cotton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with these fields. They're high, mm-hmm. they're productive, and they're mowing them down. And the guy who's driving me through Texas, I'm like, what in the world is going on? Are they diseased? He says, no, they make more money from subsidies if they mow down their crop than if they actually mm-hmm. harvest and use them.
Mm-hmm. We saw that kick in heavily in the Western United States with the USDA agricultural extension and subsidy programs. It was not uncommon throughout the great breadbaskets of the West, and in one case particular, California hit a peak in the 80s. They supplied one-third of the world's food supply. Imagine that,
mm-hmm.
the world's food supply out of one state. Yet, that was quite lucrative based on artificial supports through Congress with taxpayer funding to pay farmers, and it kept artificially the prices increased to actually not produce a given year.
Right.
And artificially starve the economy in the marketplace. And it's the same to this day, milk price fixing. If you want to piss off a lobby, go after the milk lobby.
Right.
It's insane how powerful they are. Lobby surrounded around milk.
Oh, well, and no, I don't doubt that. My goodness, who do you think's behind the raiding the Amish farmers for selling their raw milk and cheese?
Yep.
I mean, the FDA doesn't care about that.
No. And the fact that they have through the government, they have a perfect perpetual sales mechanism, and that is the mandates they help promulgate on how much milk should be consumed a day at a fixed, of course, minimum price in the school systems.
You know, Doyle, I am sitting here. The people can't see me, but I'm sitting here shaking my head because I know history. And James Madison warned us that this is exactly what would happen. In 1792, he said, look, if you allow the Congress to use the General Welfare Clause to spend our money however they want and expand their power, they will rule and reign over everything that you eat, all your educational systems, your religion, your roads, down to the very aspect of your police, he said. And now look at the militarization of our police.
Yeah, and that's exactly. Let's give them a few more MRAPs and then keep them quiet. Of course, it's just excess material. We're saving taxpayer dollars, are we?
Well, I think a limited and defined government should never have excess material to begin with. And, you know, I always say I don't mind if my sheriff has an MRAP as long as he's going to use it in my defense. The problem is not with the acquisition of the MRAP. It's the mutual jurisdiction agreement that they have to file. When your sheriff gets an MRAP or gets any of those federal equipment, he is signing an agreement that in exchange for those equipment at a lesser cost, that the federal government now has mutual jurisdiction in their jurisdiction, meaning that the federal government can come in now and enforce law without your sheriff or your community's permission at all.
There goes posse comitatus,
right,
too.
Right,
that's
absolutely.
86. That, of course, Waco proved that was gone anyway. But
yeah, well, and the NDAA killed it forever.
Yeah.
So,
well, but you remember, like the sheriff said back in, it was Iowa, 2 weeks ago, in that news report, that with all the veterans returning who have knowledge of how to make IEDs, we have to have this equipment because they could be dangerous.
Department of Homeland Security declared all our veterans domestic terrorists in 2011.
I'd like to see some statistics, though, on how many IEDs sheriff's departments have had to deal with built by veterans.
Yeah, right.
We're fixing
right.
a problem that's not there.
Right, exactly. But so let me get back on track here now. What are the things that you've seen, the successful things that you've seen in the work that you've done through the local and state levels?
Well, mainly is the focus and emphasis on a real look, a real critical and scientific and legal examination of the divestiture of the lands to the states, as is a constitutional mandate, a requirement of Congress to every state. And it really did end in the West. One of the early excuses was for that one constitutional military force, the Navy, the shipbuilding.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that we have to retain the vast forest. Well, we haven't built wooden ships in a while for the Navy, so that excuse is kind of gone. But the other excuses are gone, too, and the usurpation that the agencies like to rely on, saying, well, Congress approved it, so it's law, and it's FLIPMA. It's a joke. Just because Congress approved it does not mean it was lawful.
Right, right. And the Supremacy Clause proves that. You know, we spoke at an event, the Idaho Liberty Summit, this weekend. And, you didn't tolerate it, but I actually sat in and for my own amusement, listened to the Idaho Attorney General. His name's Lawrence Wasdin. And I'm going to tell you what, you didn't get to hear this, so you're going to hear this from me. I want to see what your reaction is. He stood there and told those people, now this is a room full of people who are arguably conservative-minded, go-getter, activist kind of people. He told them, even if we do get our land back, we'll never know how to manage it properly.
I guess we're all too stupid, right?
Yeah. Because the federal government is so much smarter than we are, right?
You know, and in this morning's class, ironically, I covered that topic, and I know you were busy and may not have been there for that period, but as I stress to everybody is when a person graduates a university, with a degree in biology, a silviculture, what have you, aquatic habitat. They don't have a mandate on their diploma that says now you have to go work for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
The states can hire the same biologist
right.
from the same university. That's a ludicrous argument, but I would expect that from him.
Yeah, he told me that the Civil War ended the argument of nullification, and that the Supreme Court are the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution.
And really?
And I said, how is that? He said it's because of Marbury versus Madison. I said, so the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiters because they say so. Do you understand? I looked at him. I said, do you mm-hmm. understand that circular logic?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he said, well, I got to catch a plane. I got to go, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, my goodness.
He seizes up like a robot. Well, just because you're an attorney general does not mean that you're a legal scholar. It means you run a good campaign.
Yeah, he had some other guy with him named George Wentz who tries to tell everybody he's a conservative constitutional attorney, and he's another federal supremacist. Mm-hmm. So this is what you battle, though, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Every
this
day.
Understanding
yeah.
of federal supremacy. Are yeah. you seeing any? All right, here's how it's going to go. We're going to go off to a break here, and this is what I'm going to do. We're going to have a short period of time when we come back, but I want to know, are you seeing any real shift
mm-hmm.
when you speak to people, and where are you seeing the most success, and what has been your most successful tool? So stay with us. We have one section left with Doyle, and then we're all done. It goes so quick, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
All right, welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. My special guest, Doyle Shamley. Before we go too far, Doyle, I want people to know how to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
The website, VeritasResearchConsulting.com. is the best way, and then they can see all the contact. Veritas, as in truth in Latin,
mm-hmm.
researchconsulting.com. And then they can see all their means of contact there.
So are you seeing any shifting
mm-hmm.
in the states and the local governments?
Mm-hmm.
Where's been your biggest success, you think?
The best places are very strong pockets, ironically, but no larger than county scale.
Mm-hmm.
In three individual locations in California. Oregon is, I feel, still a joke. Eastern Washington's phenomenally educated and moving forward. Utah.
I've been teaching over there, too.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Did you see the environmental difference?
Right.
So Arizona is cutting edge. New Mexico.
You know, I haven't done much work in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Carlsbad. And, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe that Yvette Harrell, one of the state reps in New Mexico, who's a wonderful lady, was at one of your
mm-hmm.
schools. And you're going to be in Arizona soon, don't worry.
Yay!
And but Arizona, Utah, I believe, and Montana, those three are probably leading the cutting-edge data and research to prove out every argument that a naysayer will throw at you,
mm-hmm.
whether it's economics, which I spent the last 2 days doing,
mm-hmm.
the economic feasibility, and actually,
which is amazing to have. And that's how this thing worked out this weekend. Right before Attorney General Watson and his federal supremacist attorney
mm-hmm.
Hack spoke, I gave a presentation mm-hmm. on the supremacy the supremacy of the states and their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I laid out all the facts, and then they got up there and said there are Supreme Court opinions, and the people were like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so you spent all that time talking about the economic feasibility,
mm-hmm.
and then Watson gets up and tells the people that, you know, there's no way we will be able to afford to manage our own land.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's ludicrous about that is, let's just give a real life example. In the analysis I'm having to do throughout the West, for clients on our side, and not all of them elected. Let's take PILT payments. Most people do not realize that the eastern half of the U.S. subsidizes the lack of productivity on public lands. And those public lands that are unusable due to their style of federal management are an encumbrance to those that have to live around them. So they're given this little thing like PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, which really payment in lieu of trillions is a better term.
Right.
And Secure Rural Schools Act, because it has a good feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, $34,400,000 is what came to 15 counties, because that's how many are in Arizona. So you get to take $34,400,000 this year, brand new PILT Secure Rural Schools payment for 1 year. That's all that comes. And that's divided by 15. Yet, in our analysis just recently, June 17th, data that new, one county alone is sitting on $1 billion in renewable resources, standing harvestable timber. And that is at regular sustainable levels of 60 trees per acre still left.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't count the 34 million cubic feet of annual growth. $1 billion, or we'd rather divvy up 34 million by 15.
Yeah, see, that's the big lie. Mm-hmm. And they broker on fear.
Mm-hmm.
They broker on fear and dependency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doyle, it's been such a pleasure to have you here on the show. I hope that people will learn more about what you're doing. There's just not enough time to talk about everything. I mean, we were talking in the restaurant, talking in the on the car, mm-hmm. and there's just so many things that people need to know about the mismanagement of our land. And the more successful, more economically beneficial ways that mm-hmm. we can do that on our own. Just free your mind.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Free your mind.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Doyle. I appreciate it. Hey, everybody who's listening to this, there is no reason to be miseducated. There is no reason to be ignorant. There are people out there wanting to educate your city council, your county commissioner, your sheriff, your legislators. We're begging for the opportunity to do this. You need to go to Doyle's website. I will post it on my Facebook page. And you need to find out how to get him to speak to your people. It's time to get educated, and it's time to defend liberty. God bless. See you tomorrow.